Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. Ava de Lyra's debut novel, Love Letters to the Dead, tugs at our heartstrings at all the right moments as we read Laurel's thoughts about her sister's sudden death and experience her struggle to find out who she is without her sister's very big and loving presence. It's a novel of loss, but it's also a novel of secrets, the kind that need to be shared so we can move on. And it is a great pleasure to welcome Ava de Lyra to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to talk to you.
This book was absolutely beautiful, but you had me at the very first line, which was, "Dear Kurt Cobain." Throughout the novel, our main character, Laurel, is writing letters to all of these dead famous people. And a lot of them are dead rock stars and from that kind of 90s grunge era. What was it for you to use that as a base point for the characters?
You know, I've always been, I think, interested in popular culture and the way that it can provide a sense of, almost a sense of belonging for people who have been through trauma or loss or otherwise might find themselves feeling isolated in some way. I think of it as like when you hear a favorite song that you connect with and that seems to speak to you and to something that's in your heart or that you're going through. In some ways, it feels like that song was written just for you. And then at the same time, you know that there are all of these other people in the world who are listening to that same song, maybe even at the same moment, and it binds you to all of them at the same time. So that was kind of an idea that I started out with when writing this book and wanted to explore a girl who was kind of coping with a personal version of grief through reaching out to famous dead people, like you said. And certainly Kurt Cobain figured into my own childhood. I first started listening to him when I got to middle school. It was the second CD I ever bought was In Utero, right after Mariah Carey. So I made a pretty sharp turn as I entered teenagerdom. And I felt like Nirvana and Kurt's music sort of expressed a lot of what the new emotions I was experiencing that I just didn't have words for yet.
And the song Heart-Shaped Box is our first connection that we see Laurel having as she is remembering her sister who has died.
Yeah, exactly. Each of the people in the book that Laurel writes to, she has specific reasons for writing to each of them, but Kurt Cobain is the first, the seed of this project that she embarks on, and that's really because of the way in which he's tied to her sister for her, into her memories of her sister.
This starts out as a project for English class, and Laurel has just begun high school, and a new high school at that, because everybody that she knew from her middle school knew her sister and knew what happened, and she didn't want to have to deal with that. She didn't want to have to get those looks of sadness in their eyes and nobody really being able to say anything other than sorry or that really stinks. So it's a new beginning for her.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I think she wants the chance to start over in some ways because she's really not yet capable of dealing with her sister's death and with the entire spectrum of her feelings about it. So I think she searches for a space where she can do the only thing that she can do at that moment, which is to try to reinvent herself and to start anew.
And her sister was such a big presence. I think with anybody having an older sister or an older sibling, but I think especially if they're the same sex, you look up to them and you want to be like them. And to Laurel, May was gorgeous. She was outgoing. She was brave. She was everything that Laurel wanted to be.
Exactly. At the beginning of the book, Laurel idolizes May in exactly the way that you described, just as she kind of idolizes a lot of the figures that she writes to, like Kurt Cobain or Amy Winehouse or Janis Joplin. But over the course of the story, I think as she starts to let in more of the truths about her sister and to see her in all of her imperfections and mistakes and also her beauty. And as she starts to allow herself to feel some of the anger that she has towards her as well as the love, she's able to grieve her sister more fully, I think.
She's not just writing to rock stars. This English class has also brought poetry into her life, and she's starting to be able to express her feelings and understand her feelings through the different poems that they're reading.
Yeah, I was actually trained as a poet myself. I got my master's degree in poetry from the Iowa Writers Workshop, and I mean, I've written and loved and read poetry since I was a teenager, so this was actually my first foray into fiction, into prose, and to be able to bring that sort of love of poetry into the book through Laurel's character was definitely special for me.
And it doesn't feel forced. The way that you have these beautiful classical poems and the way that they are weaved in with also what Laurel is finding out about these different people who she's writing to, it's seamlessly done.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, when I used to teach creative writing classes while I was at Iowa, one of the ways that I tried to kind of explain poetry to my students was that it's sort of like music where the melody and the lyrics are one, if that makes sense, because you have the music part of it in the rhythm of the language as well as the meaning part of it through the words. So that's the one way that I've always thought about poetry and that probably kind of indirectly inspired some of the ways that I used it in the book.
Laurel isn't just affected by the death of her sister. She's also affected by the fact that her parents had gotten divorced 2 years prior to her sister's death, but after it happened, her mom just, she left. She just couldn't deal with it anymore, and she left her with her father and her aunt. That sense of abandonment is after feeling abandoned by your sister just seems to compound all of these horrible feelings for Laurel.
Yes, very much so. That element of the story was one that I worked on quite a bit. I knew sort of from the beginning that Laurel had been left by her mother. And as I worked on editing the novel with my editor at FSG, she really pushed me to further explore Laurel's relationship with her mother and what it would look like when her mother returned. And so that was both a difficult and a rewarding element of the book for me to write, probably in part because in some ways writing this novel was for me a response to the sudden death of my own mother. And so there was part of that that came into it for me. But I think that sort of just as Laurel's letters helped her heal from her grief, writing the book did the same for me in a way.
In that case, and when you have such a personal experience with it, did you, while the book was cathartic for you, did you start writing letters to the dead for yourself?
I didn't. In a way, I think doing that through Laurel's character was, I think it filled that need for me. I certainly had written letters to my own mother before starting the book, although afterwards, after I finished it, I haven't anymore. I think that something sort of came out of me in writing it.
Or Laurel, Judy Garland, is her mother. And
yes.
All of those. And she watched all of her movies with her, but as she researches more about Judy Garland, she sees that, I think just like with any of these people that she is writing to, and then the characters that she is associating within those letters, it helps her start to see her mother and the other characters in a different light.
Exactly. I think that goes back to, in a sense, what I was saying about Laurel finally kind of coming to terms with her sister, not just as an idol, but as a person with human struggles and imperfections. The letters that she writes to in her quote-unquote relationships to the people that she's writing letters to evolve at the same time and even help her, I think, see her sister and her mother in different lights as she starts to realize that these people were also human beings with imperfections and with struggles, and not just the rock stars or the famous actors to be idolized. That helps her to evolve her her consciousness of herself and of the people that she has loved and lost in her own life.
And then there are the ones that she meets and that she doesn't want to tell them about May. She doesn't want to be the girl that lost her sister. And so we meet Natalie and Hannah, who are just pretty awesome in general with her. But they too, like everybody else, they have their own problems, but they don't want to talk about them either. I mean, it just goes to show everybody has secrets. It's just whether or not they're willing to let them go and talk to others about them.
Exactly. I think part of one of the biggest themes of the book for me is just that. It's about the importance of opening up and telling your truths, because I think that secrets, they'll come out in one way or another. And so if you're not letting them out in kind of productive ways or opening up to people, talking, writing about them, the truth of them will sort of find their way out in other ways, possibly even unconsciously, and can sometimes, I think, create dangerous situations. So I think especially for young people, kind of, sometimes, at least it was this way for me as a teenager, you don't necessarily realize why you're doing all of the things that you're doing. And so to become a little bit more conscious about your choices and in control, I think that was part of the theme of the book for me. And Natalie and Hannah were two of my favorite characters to write, indirectly inspired by a couple of my own best friends from high school who I'm still close to.
They play wonderfully off each other. They didn't steal the show, but you were still waiting to see them come on the page again and see what they were up to and what was going on in their friendship.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Before we go, I want to talk about Aunt Amy, who, since Laurel's mother moved away, her week with her mother then became her week with Amy, alternating with Laurel's father. And Aunt Amy is very religious. She's still single. And the person that Laurel writes to when she's talking about Aunt Amy is Alan Lane.
Yeah. Probably one of the more lesser known, at least to today's teenagers, people in the book. And there was some stage of writing or editing where I think it was questioned, do you need this? Does it have to be this? And I said, yes, it definitely has to be this. I felt very strongly about it. As I mentioned, there was a lot that was personal in the book for me, although ultimately in writing the story, a lot of it evolved away from my own story and the characters became their own people, and it's certainly not autobiography, but Aunt Amy is the character most directly inspired by somebody in my own life. But I did have an Aunt Amy who is no longer with us. She passed away when I was a teenager, but she was my mother's sister, and I was very close to her, and she loved Mr. Ed, just like Laurel's Aunt Amy does in the book. For those who don't know, Mr. Ed was the old television show, and the character of Mr. Ed, the horse, was voiced by Alan Lane, which is why Laurel chooses him to write letters about her aunt.
It's hard for Laurel to live there because she just doesn't feel that connection to Aunt Amy that one would have with their own mother, but she doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings and say, no, I don't want to stay here.
Yeah, I think Laurel really loves her aunt and cares about her and appreciates her on a level because she's the one who's there while her mother's gone. But at the same time, she's not her mother, and Laurel really needs her mother. And because Aunt Amy has her own religious beliefs and has had her own struggles in her life, she's maybe not always equipped to deal with the reality of the needs of a teenage girl. So she can feel pretty far off from, I think, being in touch with Laurel and the reality of her life. Although by the end of the book, she sort of begins to evolve and starts to step up for Laurel a little bit.
I did like that Laurel, obviously because she does love her Aunt Amy, that she was concerned with her happiness and making sure that she didn't hurt her feelings. she wasn't so consumed by her grief to take it out on the ones that she loved.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think that's an important part of Laurel's character, is that she really does genuinely care about the people around her and feel for them and want what's best for them. So she's not somebody who gets so lost in herself that she loses sight of that.
Well, the novel is beautiful. The name of it is Love Letters to the Dead. Ava, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I love talking to you.
Again, the name of Ava DeLyra's novel is Love Letters to the Dead. It is published by FSG. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Will you still love me tomorrow?